Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashodhanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashodhanandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Hare Krishna, sorry, I was traveling the last few weeks and I don't think my voice ever fully recovered. But judging by the coughing of the room, I think I'm not the only one. I'll try my best to be audible. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Jeva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudhirayet. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Okay, let's see. Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 41 to 43. One moment. So the focus verse for today will be text 42 and 43. I will just read through text 41 on my own, and then we can do call and response for the next one. Mata dvija ganer gushtam, mata brahmada vibramam, mata barhi natat topam avyayan mata kokilam. Reading this one alone. The area resounded with the notes of overjoyed birds. Intoxicated bees wandered there. Intoxicated peacocks proudly danced, and merry cuckoos called one another. Purport. The beauty of the pleasant sounds heard in the area surrounding Lake Bindu Sarovar is described here. After drinking honey, the black bees became maddened, and they hummed in intoxication. Merry peacocks danced just like actors and actresses, and married cuckoos called their mates very nicely. Okay, this one we'll do call and response. Kadamba champaka shoka. Kadamba champaka shoka. Karana karangya bakula sanai. Kunda mandara kuta jaish. Sarasaish chakravakash. Sarasaish chakravakaischa. Sorry. Let me try that again. Kunda mandira kuta jais kuta. I'll start again. Kadamba champaka shoka. Karangya bakula sanai. Kunda mandara kuta jaish. Jutapoter alankritam. Karandavai plavir hamsai. Oh, it's for me. It's back to back. Let's go to the next verse. You have it? Okay, let's try that again. Karandavai plavir hamsai. Kurarai jalakutatai. Sarasaish chakravakaischa. Chakorir valgukujitam. Maybe someone else besides me, give it a go. Anyone in the back? Yamba champaka shoka. Kadamba champaka shoka. Bakula shanai. Jutapoter alankritam. Okay, let's do the boy side of the room first. Bacham Paka Shoka. Champaka shoka karanja bakula sanai kundara mandakutas chais Chuta poter alankritam. Randaver palar hamsai. Sarasais chakravakaischa. Chakorir valgukuchitam. Okay, word for word. Kadamba. Kadamba flowers. Champaka. Champaka flowers. Ashoka. Ashoka flowers. Karanja. Karanja flowers. There's a lot of these. Bakula. Bakula flowers. Asanai. By asana trees. Kunda. Kunda. Mandara. Mandara. Kutajay. And by Kutaja trees. Chuta pote. By young mango trees. Alankritam. Adorned. Karandave. By Karandava ducks. Plave. By plavas. Hamse. By swans. Kurare. By ospreys. Jala kukute. By waterfowl. Sarasai. By cranes. Chakravakai. By chakravaka birds. Cha. And chakore. By chakora birds. Valgu. Pleasing. Kujitam. Vibration of bird sounds. It sounds like I'm describing a zoo, right? There's just so many birds and animals and everything. Translation. Lake Bindu Sarovar was adorned by flowering trees such as Kadamba, Champaka, Ashoka, Karanja, Bakula, Asana, Kunda, Mandara, Kutaja, and young mango trees. The air was filled with the pleasing notes of Karandava ducks, plovas, swans, ospreys, waterfowl, cranes, chakravakas, and chakoras. Purport. For most of the trees, flowers, and fruits, the birds mentioned here as surrounding Bindu Sarovar Lake. English synonyms cannot be found, which is why some of these synonyms were just the same Sanskrit word. All the trees mentioned are very pious in that they produce a nice aromatic flower, such as champaka, kadamba, and bakula. The sweet sounds of waterfowl and cranes made the surrounding area as pleasant as possible, and pay attention to this last few words, and created a very suitable spiritual atmosphere. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuru militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastityade Shatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Thirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebhyascha. Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So there's just a heads up before I get into the class. Today's class will have a lot of analogies. You know what analogies are? Analogies are basically when you, to explain a certain concept or to explain a phenomenon or something, you use something else to compare it to. It's an analogy. And you'll notice in Shastra, there's a lot of analogies. Srila Prabhupada loved using analogies, and he could explain the most philosophically complex topics with simple analogies. And today I thought I would share one that I think is one of the most important analogies and comparisons to understand bhakti. Just quickly, what's going on here. Lake Bindu Sarovar is the place where Kardama Muni, who to pray for assistance and guidance in his service of helping expand the creation. He did many thousands of years of austerity and devotional service at a place called Lake Bindu Sarovar. And what's so special about this lake is the Lord was so pleased by his devotional service, by the fact that he took shelter of Krishna in such a magnanimous, amazing way, that the Lord himself cried tears, and these tears made this lake. And so in this way, it's non-different from him, because it comes straight from the Lord's body. And so it's saying these last few verses, Srimad Bhagavatam is describing that this lake is such a spiritually rich atmosphere, because the Lord's presence is right there. And they say just like the Ganga comes from the perspiration of the toes of the Lord. So in this way, the tears of the Lord made up this lake. And so just yesterday's verse was speaking about how the birds are chanting Hare Krishna in this lake. It's such a special, powerful spiritual atmosphere. So I thought to focus today's verse on this topic of spiritual atmosphere. But not just the external spiritual atmosphere, because you can see that this lake was, many sages came here. It was very surcharged with the Lord's presence. And there's so many signs that it was such a pleasing atmosphere to practice spiritual life. But ultimately, the purpose of this pleasing atmosphere was that these devotees and these sages and Kardama Muni, they would create a spiritual atmosphere within their own heart. They would go here, which was conducive to clear their mind and make space within their own heart to bring Krishna in. So I want to speak about spiritual atmosphere, both externally and internally. But if you know me and how I give class, I don't just jump into a topic. I like to go the roundabout way and explain, try to bring in other concepts as well. So in the heart space, there's in Sanskrit, this is described different ways. In the Upanishads, it's described as Dahara Akash, other places, Hridaya Mandire, the heart. The temple of the heart is the place where both you, the living entity, your soul, resides next to and with Krishna. Krishna resides within each and every living entity, including you. And Srila Prabhupada describes this in a really nice analogy. He says, it's like two birds in a tree. One bird, the tree gives fruit, and there's a fruit-eating bird, and there's a witnessing bird. One bird, the fruit-eating bird, represents you, it represents us, represents the living entity. And the other bird is the witnessing bird, that's Krishna within the heart, who doesn't interfere with the activities that we do. He lets us make our own decisions. And unfortunately, us, the bird who's eating the fruit of the tree, which is compared to the happiness and distress that happens in the material world, is so absorbed in this that we forget to turn around and look that there's our friend, another bird sitting right next to us, witnessing everything that we're doing. And even though our friend, the witnessing bird, Krishna, is there, seeing us so absorbed in everything in this world that we forget him, he doesn't interfere, but he waits. He waits for us to come to him. So here, Kardama Muni, Krishna was so moved and pleased that he took shelter, that he turned the other way. He faced the Lord in prayer and meditation and devotional service, that the Lord was crying tears. This is how moved Krishna is. So you can think about the spiritual atmosphere of the heart in this way. But I wanted to go another way to come to this point and speak a little bit about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance day is coming in a few weeks. There is a very unique way in which Lord Chaitanya spread his teachings. Does anybody have any ideas, any guesses what this could be? How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread his teachings? Thoughts? He wandered around India singing and dancing. That's perhaps one way. Anything else? I see a hand. Anybody else? How did Mahaprabhu spread his teachings? Did he write books? He didn't write books, actually. No, did he lecture extensively? Not so much. Here and there. His most unique way, actually, was empowering others. And he taught others through conversations. he had extensive conversations on different topics of bhakti. And he taught this to very special empowered people. And he instructed them then, you go further, you write, you establish temples, you preach this message, you take disciples, you spread this further. And many of those books are sitting here in our temples, in your homes, in your schools. They're translated in hundreds of languages. And one such person was Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Rupa Goswami gave up a very high government post so that he can spend time and serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu spent 10 days with him in a place known as Ashwamedha Ghat in Prayag. And he spoke to him about the science of Krishna consciousness and the tattva of rasa. And he explained to him what the seed of bhakti is. And he gave this incredible analogy. It's really one of the most profound analogies in all of our literature. And it contains so much in there. So I brought a little something to show you. Anyone have any guess which plant or which fruit this seed is from? It's kind of hard to see. I think I heard it, yeah? Avocado. Yeah, you're right. It's avocado seed. Have any of you gardened before? Yeah? Or maybe, oh, a lot of you have gardened. Okay, look at that. What do you need to garden? What's one of the first things you need? Soil. I heard soil. Water. What else? Soil and water is great, but you need something to plant. A seed. You need a seed. So Mahaprabhu, he gave this example of a seed. And in the seed, there's a potential for a very large tree. It's one of the greatest miracles of life, is that in this little thing, and actually I looked it up, an avocado tree can become huge, and it gives so many fruits, which have so many seeds. So in this seed is a potential to grow very, very big. But it needs the right environment, right? You said soil. It needs soil, and it needs water. It needs the right nutrients. And with these two things, it's very important. Then the tree can become very mature, right? So this is the example that's given. So simple. And when a tree becomes mature from proper cultivation of the seed, what does the tree give? It gives fruit. Yes, it gives fruit. Very important. And when that fruit has good seed, what does that seed do? If you plant it, it becomes a tree that gives more. So you see where I'm going with this. This one seed can become thousands and thousands and thousands of delicious avocados. And so this is the power of a seed. So in the same way, the seed of bhakti is called the bhakti lata bij. Bija means seed. And lata is the creeper or the plant or the tree that can grow from bhakti. So bhakti has the potential to grow very, very large. And when the bhakti matures, when the devotee matures, then that bhakti can be given to others in a way that it can also be grown very, very large. And it just needs the correct cultivation and environment. We spoke about start of the class with spiritual environment. It needs the correct cultivation and environment for this tree to become very big and tall. This is called parampara. Right, so this is this whole Vedic philosophy is really explained by this simple tree planting analogy or seed sowing. So where do you think I got the seed from? An avocado. Where do I get the avocado from? The store. Where did the store get it from? Okay, the store didn't directly get it from a tree, but it got it from somebody else, right? A farmer. On the farm, there is someone called a gardener. Like you all said, you were once gardeners at one point. At least you gardened once. And that gardener planted the seed and he grew it very nicely. So the seed doesn't come from thin air. It comes from a person. It's grown by a person, actually. So technically, the seed that I've been given is because of the mercy of a gardener. You could say that, right? Because of a nice expert gardener who knows how to grow nice avocado trees and pick the right fruit. I got this from Publix. I paid way too much money for it. Put the avocado on my toast. And today, I thought, I'm going to keep the seed. But usually, I don't keep it. Usually, I throw it away. And so this is very important because there is the seed which is given. So in the same way, the seed of devotional service, the seed of bhakti, it doesn't come from thin air. It's not manufactured in a lab. It's actually given by somebody. It's given by someone who knows how to plant that seed themselves. It's given by someone who's grown the seed themselves, in which bhakti has been matured by their own cultivation and practice and dedication. And when that seed grows big enough into a tree, it can give ripe fruit, and that can be given to others. So this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches to Rupa Goswami. He says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, means in all of the Brahmanda, in this whole universe, one very lucky person receives the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed, and it comes from, this came from the mercy of the gardener, we could say, but this seed of bhakti comes from the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. It comes from the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Guru is the via medium of which the mercy of bhakti can be transmitted from one to another and eventually come into our own heart. Usually the way that comes through is through sound vibration. It's called in Sanskrit, Shabda Brahman. This can come in the form of the Shastra, the pure holy name, the words of a pure devotee. And the very important thing that I want to get to about the seed analogy is, what do you do with the seed? Today I brought it here. I could go home, I could find some good soil and sunlight, and I could plant it. Or I could go home and I could throw it in the trash. Right? What do you do with the seed of bhakti once it's given to you? Actually, all of you have received this seed, you know, from your parents, your first gurus, from your teachers, of course from Srila Prabhupada, perhaps from your siksha, from your diksha guru. The seed you've been given, it's like, for example, if parents were to give the children an inheritance and an equal amount to two sons, one son can take the inheritance and they could say, I'm going to take this, I'm going to be smart, I'm going to save it, I'm going to invest it, I'm going to help it grow more so that I can give more to my children. And the other could say, I'm going to use it all at once. I'm going to fly to Vegas and I'm going to gamble it away. And then they squander it and it's all gone. The same thing with the seed of bhakti. You see, the seed is given, but the watering and the soil, that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. And collectively, that's our responsibility to help one another. So this is the seed of bhakti. And it's given, but the cultivation, the growth of that seed, that has to be done on our own. Srila Prabhupada talks about this, that the seed contains knowledge of Krishna. The seed contains the rules, the regulations of Krishna consciousness, the methods of how to practice. But the training of the disciple, he has to do his part to be trained. The spiritual master is willing to give the training, but we have to do our own part and be responsible for our own part. And so the seed will only grow if you grow it. Mahaprabhu, then he speaks about that. This, the next verse, I dropped my seed. There goes my seed. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. So the heart is the environment. That is the soil. And you sow the seed by the process of shravana and kirtana, by hearing and chanting. So this is how devotional service grows once given. And so today, this verse reminded me of this analogy because it spoke about spiritual atmosphere. And I thought the spiritual atmosphere is something I could relate to in terms of, what am I doing to prepare my heart for the seed of bhakti? What am I doing to plant the seed? What soil do I have? What good soil that I have that bhakti can grow? So this whole Lake Bindu Sarovar is actually very allegorical to the internal spiritual environment which we must create. If you think about it, would you invite a special guest into a cluttered home? Would you? Maybe not. If you had a special guest, maybe think of, you know, your someone you love very much, maybe a grandparent, or maybe a grandparent's too familiar. Maybe you're, you know, someone you look up to. Maybe it's a musician. Maybe it's an athlete, a role model. And they knocked on your door one day, or they knocked on your room, and your room's a total mess. You'd be a little embarrassed to bring them in, right? But what if your space is very welcoming? You know, there's not things all over the bed and things all over the couch. There's somewhere for them to sit, something for them to eat. So in the same way, the space of our consciousness, our mind, the heart space has to be fertile. It has to be somewhere that you would want to bring Krishna in. And of course, the external environment helps very much. But today I want to speak a little bit more about the internal environment. Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, who's saying the mind is so hard to control. You know, the mind that is flickering, it's harder to control than the wind. How am I supposed to control the mind? How am I supposed to focus my consciousness on you? How am I supposed to become Krishna conscious when I'm here on a battlefield and my consciousness is every single other place? So Krishna says, Abhyasena tu Kunteya Vairagyena Chagrihate. By practice and by detachment, one can make their mana or their mind or their consciousness become Krishna conscious. It's a very famous bhajan that we sing called Mama Mana Mandire. That, oh, Krishna Murari, please make my mana, my consciousness, my heart into a temple. Please reside in the temple of my mind. And so Srila Prabhupada explains detachment, actually, the best way to have detachment is to have a better attachment. Does that make sense? If I want to be detached to something that's not doing me any good, I got to become attached to something that's doing me good. It's called pareshanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. In other words, he would use the phrase higher taste. Have you heard of this? Develop a higher taste. And so I thought about this and I was thinking, how is it that we can create an environment in the heart that we can grow the seed of bhakti? Really, what is it that could really create an attachment to Krishna within the heart, that can create this temple of the heart space? How can I detach from something that I'm not, that's cluttering that room? How can I get rid of something that I'm attached to that's actually not serving that space? You know, it's like spring cleaning, or if you have all these clothes in your closet that are just piled up, they don't fit you anymore, but you're so attached to it because once you love that t-shirt so much, how do I get rid of that? Usually if you get a nice new shirt that fits you, that you like more, it's a lot easier to get rid of that old t-shirt. So I realized to create this fertile soil of the heart and attachments to Krishna, it has to come from spiritual experiences. It just has to come from spiritual experiences. Experiences where you feel that I choose Krishna. I choose you, Krishna. Experiences that you really have this realization and feeling. Then it's very, very easy to let go of things that clutter that space, that don't choose Krishna. So I know you guys have to leave soon. I'll end it in 5 minutes. I just wanted to share personally what I felt this was and maybe what you can do as well. I remember maybe one of the most astonishing I choose Krishna moments was when I was 15. And I was in my 10th grade, going to 11th grade summer. And I really just wanted to play. And I was on the basketball team, 9th, 10th grade at Santa Fe. And I thought, okay, I really just want to make varsity next year. And I'm going to play in the summer. I'm going to train. This is what I'm going to do. And I think my parents really wanted me to have this spiritual Krishna conscious experience. So I remember my sister told me, okay, either you spend the whole summer in 110 degree weather in India alone with your mom and dad, or you go on the bus tour with me and you have no other option. So you can guess what I chose. I wanted the bus tour with her, which I was a little nervous to do because there was people that went on there that I grew up with but haven't spoke to in 10 years. But I remember that it was like an experience like no other. And I remember 1 week in telling myself that this life of a Krishna conscious adventure It's better than anything I've experienced before. It was so good. It was so amazing that when I came back and this tour, this adventure ended, I wanted to keep that feeling alive. I wanted to spend time with the same people I spent time with on the tour, the friends I made. And I wanted to keep it going to the point that my senior year of high school, I skipped my last opportunity to play on the basketball team. And I went on the Mexico tour. And I thought, this, I feel, is more important. Because that experience, I relish that experience so much more. And I thought, I want to go in this direction. And I remember thinking after, do I regret it? Do I not? But looking back, I don't at all, because it was a spiritual experience which I felt I chose Krishna so deeply because of the experience and the people in that experience I wanted to be around and keep recreating that. That it was so, the key word, it was so natural to let go of things that didn't serve my Krishna consciousness. It was so natural. And just probably where I lost my voice, 2 weeks ago I was in Radhadesh for Radhadesh Mellows. If you love Kirtan, you have to go once in your lifetime. And it was so wonderful, but also difficult. It was, you know, over 10 hours of sitting and chanting in Kirtan every day. And by, you know, the evening of Sunday night, the third day, I remember thinking, oh, so many days, 3 days, my mind is wandering everywhere. This is so difficult. But the last 6 hours or so, we all sat together, sung together, 1,000 people in one room. And I remember by the end, I felt like I was just flying in a plane, going back to Godhead. It just felt like nothing else in this world mattered. And after it was over, all I can think about was, wow, when I go home, I want to continue this in some way. I want to commit to doing more kirtan. I'm going to become more serious about it. I want to travel to more festivals like these. And these are spiritual experiences that it becomes easy and natural to detach. It's not even a difficult thing. And this is the process. This is what it's all about. You attach yourself to Krishna. You do it with a sangha of devotees. You do it with your friends. Take advantage of the wonderful festival. There's so many nice festivals here. We can attend a festival. You can stand in the back during the kirtan for 10 minutes, go take prasadam and go home. Or you can get together with your friends. You can help in the kitchen. You can be part of a drama. You can do something that's a little exciting. And those experiences really, really help you move forward in Krishna consciousness. They'll create the space in the heart, like Mahaprabhu was talking about, that you can plant a seed that'll grow into a very, very, very big tree. Thank you. Hare Krishna. If you have time, I'm happy to take questions. If not, thank you so much for being here. Hare Krishna. And also, of course, questions from devotees in the back. We have Mother Agatmika with a question here.
Thank you, Ram Govind, for that wonderful example of your getting that higher taste.
Yeah.
We know that chanting and hearing is watering the seed.
Yeah.
But what would be the sunshine?
The sunshine.
Because sunshine is necessary.
Yeah.
How to continue the analogy? Got any idea?
Yeah. I was reading Bhagavad Gita, or trying to go through it systematically. And I noticed in the beginning, in the first and second chapter, Srila Prabhupada describes the sun to Krishna so many times. The source, the sun's source, is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Bhagavan. And he describes that there are sun energy, there's the sun rays, the energy of the Lord, but ultimately the energy comes from a source. And I was thinking, he uses this sun analogy again and again and again. There's even a Gayatri mantra which describes the sun, but in Vaishnavas, we know that's Krishna as the source of everything. I think the sunshine is the continuous mercy of the Supreme Lord. Because, yes, Guru Krishna Prasadib Paya Bhakti Lata Bij is given by the mercy of Guru and Krishna through Guru to the devotee, but it's not like Krishna gives and forgets. You know, Krishna is always there. But if we hold an umbrella over the sunshine and we, you know, close the blackout curtains and don't want to see it, that's still on us. The sun is there, yeah. Thank you.
How about the rising sun of the holy name?
Rising
sun of the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
Holy name is the sunshine.
Yeah, of course. And Kali Yuga Nama Avatar is the manifestation of Krishna, the avatar of Krishna in the form of his most accessible form. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to share one more thing, but I knew the kids had to go, so I didn't share it then. But it was in Radhadesh. There was a few devotees from Alachua who were there too. And maybe 4 days after that festival finished was the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. And they do a really nice festival in Germany, in a temple called Goloka Dham. So a group of us traveled and we went there after, and Satchidananda Swami was there and he spoke to us at the end, and he was calling us festival hoppers because we were going from one festival to the other. But he said, it's fine, it's very good to do, but at the same time, it's important that we don't become calloused or immune, because we're having such wonderful spiritual experiences that they become something very common and something that we don't no longer see as very special, or something that we forget very quickly. So he was stressing, remember these experiences, reminisce on these experiences. He used the poetic way of saying, follow the echo of Lord Nityananda, you know, meaning there's what a wonderful experience on his appearance day. So much mercy came from Lord Nityananda. And you know, if you shout in a cave, the same sound vibration that would last 1 second may last 10, 15, 20 seconds because of the echo. So in this way, if you stay on the echo of such a wonderful spiritual experience, I think the additional purport to that is to make sure that we stay in the inspiring Sangha of devotees, especially the Sangha which we experience many nice things with. You know, if we are doing service, if we're doing Sankirtan, if we're dressing the deities with certain Vaishnavas, and we stay in that Sangha with those devotees, then the experiences we have together, we can reminisce about them, we can dig deeper about them, we can inspire one another how to do these things more. Otherwise, the danger is that we become a forgetful festival hopper, and it just becomes part of our routine, just like getting up and brushing our teeth and going to work. So I just wanted to add that as well as a counter to what I was saying. Anybody else? Okay, thank you so much. Sorry again for my voice. Grantarashima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.